Blog Talk Radio.
This is George Gamond, and welcome to the Friday show. And what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is Friday, and this is St. Valentine's Day. No, what am I talking about? St. Patrick's Day. Okay, I'm going to get my head together here. I have to apologize for yesterday. I got somebody call me on Skype while I was doing the show yesterday, and I hit the wrong button, and I'm off the air with about a minute and a half to go. Don't like people calling me during the show, but every once in a while I tried to, you know, end that call and ended my call, and it was kind of frustrating. So yesterday's show was a little bit of abbreviated, and that was my mistake, and I couldn't get back on. Didn't realize I wasn't still going, so okay, but I'm here today, so we're going to have some fun. So let's talk about St. Patrick's Day, and I have some other articles. Now, I would love to help you. If you want to call in, and if you have relationship issues or questions and you want Spirit to comment on that, we can do that. I'd love to do that. But today's about raising your vibration. Okay. And St. Patrick's Day, and having some fun. So we'll try to make this a little bit lighter than usual, because some of you might be out there having a little bit of green beer today. Maybe. You ever had green beer? I remember way back when, long time ago, when I was much younger. I remember having green beer, but that's been ages ago. So but you know, you're allowed to have fun, right? We're all allowed to have fun, aren't we? Got some dog next door barking away. This one dog is really kind of really frustrating, isn't it? Okay, so let's just get a jump into something. A couple articles that I wanted to get into. And I thought this was rather interesting. Now, it's not on the topics that we've been talking about, but it's really about vibration, in the sense of keeping your vibration up, and one way to keep your vibration in a very positive place. Now, if you want to call in, if you want to get a past life reading, if you want to talk to an ancestor, we can do that. If you need some relationship guidance, I can do that. You know, I call myself as an intuitive performance coach, which means I help you to, let's say, raise your vibration, get you to a place where you eliminate the obstacles that you have in your life to get whatever you want, manifest either great relationships or better career situation or whatever it is. Okay? So this is an article from lifehack.org, and they have some great articles, but I thought this was kind of appropriate for what we've been talking about lately about raising your vibration. And as you know, I share things on Facebook, so if you're interested in reading this for yourself at some other time in the future, join me on Facebook, and it'll be there for you. Don't reply to messages instantly. It can seriously ruin your life. Now, that's a pretty bold statement, right? Don't reply to messages instantly. It can seriously ruin your life. But Craig J. Todd, freelance writer and founder of 6'9" Writer. So let's go through this. Let's see what he has to say. Okay, so you left the office for a well-deserved lunch break. Just as you sit down in your favorite diner to enjoy your sandwich and coffee, your cell phone beeps as to say you have a new message. You pick up your phone, read the message, and immediately begin to reply, even though it's nothing important or time-sensitive. By doing this, you've demonstrated a reactive where you allowed your lunch break to be disrupted for a little reason. You ever do that? You ever do that? Do you ever just kind of like you're doing something, you're in the middle of a really good movie and you instantly pick up your phone, or you're doing something, you're talking to friends. That's even more important. You're out to dinner with friends and your phone, you hear your phone beep and you instantly reach for it. Isn't that kind of frustrating? Isn't that crazy? Why do you do it? Okay, so you're saying that, okay, so let's go on with the article. When this type of behavior becomes habitual, you become slave to circumstances. When you become reactive, you allow your personal happiness to be determined by events outside of your control. And you take actions only based on what has happened. So instead of directing the moment, directing your life, you react to other people's situations, other people's whatever, right? Successful people, on the other hand, take actions based on their own plans. Ooh. They are so proactive and take charge of their own lives. They prioritize their work and won't let people distract them and slow down their progress. What do you think about that? Isn't that interesting? Replying messages instantly seem to be just a small problem, but it's more serious than you thought. According to a 2014 survey, Americans in the 25 to 34 age group check their phones 50 times per day. Imagine being interrupted 50 times per day. Really, that's reacting. It's not being proactive, as he was saying here. And we have 24 hours and 16 hours awake each day only, which means every hour you would be interrupted at least three times. And I was reading this article and I'm going, yeah, I can see myself doing that. And that's not healthy. That is not healthy. Not healthy at all. Not healthy whatsoever. So let's keep going, okay? So, which means every hour you're interrupted three times. What big achievements can you have when you can't even focus on your own? So how can we eliminate such habits? First, do you need to keep your phone with you at all times? Really? That's an interesting thought. Do you need to? Okay. Yeah. If yes, try leaving it at home from time to time, or at the very least, switching it into a silent mode, or just mute the groups. By doing this, you can then decide when you'll check for messages rather than being controlled by every message that comes through. You can even turn your phone off, right, for a while. Now, trying to relate this to vibration, and we were talking about vibration and getting your vibration higher. And if you're always being disrupted, if you're always having these disruptions, it upsets your vibrational field. It really does. Okay? So if you want to stay focused, you want to continue having your vibration at a high level, you avoid this sort of thing. Life is too short to be dictated by endless messages arriving to your devices. Find time to shut off the noise. Instead, use this time to build purpose-fulfilled life. I think the worst time to possibly do that, absolutely the worst time, would be if you're meditating and your phone goes off. Now, if you're meditating or taking some quiet time for yourself, really, you don't want your phone bugging you, right? Nothing is that important, unless it's a work day or whatever. I don't know. You got somebody that's seriously ill in your family. So that's a thought. Just those little things in your life can disrupt your vibrational field and keep your vibrational field from being at the high flying place that it could be. Okay? Moving right along. What are we doing next? I had a whole bunch of stuff to talk about today, and I'm just kind of like scattered around a little bit, bouncing up around a bit. Oh, I have a caller. Okay, I know. This is kind of a disruptive day for me, too. So, again, we're going to talk about a little bit about St. I'm stuck on Valentine's Day. I guess I didn't do anything special this year, right? This is St. Patrick's Day, and we'll get into the history of St. Patrick's Day and a little bit more about that. And we will talk a little bit more about, yeah, raising your vibration. So let me take a call and see what's going on in the world out there. Hello.
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 Hey, this is Debbie. Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Debbie, I can hear you. What's going on, Debbie?
Nothing. It's funny. I like the show title, so I was like, let me call in. How can
okay.
I raise my vibration?
How?
Well, no,
is
I know how. I just wanted to call in. No, I actually know how, but the energy's weird today, like really almost Gemini-like. I don't know how to describe it. It's funny you said
okay.
Valentine's and it's really St. Patrick's. So
I know, I'm confused.
It just seems
odd. My energy. Yeah.
It just seems odd.
A little odd. Yes.
Yeah.
I keep thinking. I don't know why I'm thinking about Valentine's Day. I guess this year wasn't the best of Valentine's days for whatever reason. So Debbie, do you have a question or you just wanted to comment about your day? Which is a good thing.
No. Well, Venus is in retrograde, so that may be the Valentine that you keep getting. It's that. But I was just wondering, what can I do to make my own relationship better as far as improving it?
You're
like
in
I do a
relationship.
A lot of the work. Uh-huh.
Well, you have to
yes.
stop doing. You have to stop doing that.
Well, I did make that grand announcement today.
but it's not just saying I'm not doing this anymore. It's more about presenting it as a problem. Where is the problem in it? How is that a problem for you? How is that a problem for you?
Because I'm exhausted.
Okay, so whoever your partner is, isn't that your problem you present? I am exhausted. I'm tired. I need your help. Help me solve this. I'm going to give you this problem. I'm exhausted. You help me with that.
Right.
Okay? Give your partner
okay.
the responsibility, the problem-solving initiative here to solve that problem. I'm exhausted. I
okay.
seem like I do a lot. How can you help me? How can you solve this problem? And we'll see what kind of attitude we're dealing with here, right?
Yeah, he does want to help, but it's like things that are not helpful. Like he's like, let me help you. He does say that. I like the way you put it much better than the way I put it. I guess I need to be more specific.
It's more about, yeah, this is my problem. I need your help. And what I hear too from Spirit is, what are the areas that are most exhausting for you?
Mm.
Where are you exhausted?
Emotionally.
Okay, so what is he doing to cause that?
Almost not enough, or maybe neglectful in that arena, but physically too. I just do pretty much everything because I'm the one with the car. I'm the one that I guess will just be a go-getter and go like, we need this, let's do this. Like, I'm the more, I don't know.
You're more assertive.
Aggressive.
You're more assertive.
Yeah.
You're more
oh,
assertive.
Oh, gosh. Exactly.
You tend to take on responsibilities.
Yes.
Right?
Everything.
And
yeah, over.
So you let him off the hook.
Yep.
Because you figure,
yep.
I can do it. Oh, might as well just do it myself and get it done.
Yes.
Doesn't that sound like you? Okay.
Yes, and I'm glad you're helping
me
define it.
But the first word I got for you was patience. So you have to have more patience with him. So if you ask him to help, then you have to have patience to let him do it without getting, oh, God, I might as well just do it. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah.
It's you're dealing with a man, but you're also dealing with a little kid.
Yeah.
Children do that. children will putz around. Their parents will ask them to do something. They'll putz around, do-da-da-da-da, till they finally get their parents to do it because they've trained their parents to in that procedure. You know what I mean? So he's trained you.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, okay. That kind of makes me angry, though. Do you know?
Don't get angry.
Because it feels manipulative,
well,
though.
But it's a subconscious thing, you know. It's a very subconscious thing. It's not like he's trying to do to get you. It's just,
okay.
It seems to work for, works for him. It works for him, right?
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah.
You have to turn, you have to be more patient with him and make a list of responsibilities and say, okay, what do you want to take off the list? What of these responsibilities do you want? Right?
Right.
Or better,
okay.
Even better yet, what I hear, I'm getting corrected by Spirit as ask him to make a list of the responsibilities he wants to take on. After you've explained that you're tired, you're kind of worn out, you would like him to take on more responsibilities, put on a list of, and then let's discuss your list. Give him some time, let him think about it, and then be patient with him to take care of it. But you can't nag him. No nagging is allowed in this process. No nagging.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. I know, you're going to have fun with this. It's going to be a challenge, but it's going to teach you a lot of patience. It's going to teach you a lot of delegation.
Okay. Yeah, like today he's like, he said, you're my wife. I said, we're not married. He says, well, let's get married. And I said, I just thought to myself, this is kind of bitter, I admit. Yeah, I'd probably have to do the call. I'd probably have to go pick stuff out. I'd probably have to drive us. Like that is, I know that's horrible, but that's what I think.
But you already set yourself up to be tired.
Yeah.
Right?
So I'm doing it to myself.
Okay, but then if he says that thing, let's get married. Okay, here's the list of things you need to do. Right?
Okay, right.
Yeah, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. You want to make this happen? Here's the list. And I'm not going to do it, but if you need some advice, I'll get you some advice on how to do it, okay?
I like it.
Okay, just work.
You'll get
him. You can retrain him. Men are actually retrainable. You know that.
It's funny to hear that from a man, but yes.
Well.
They want to be trained, right?
No, men will do things if they see the benefit in doing it.
Oh, okay.
So we got the stick part, right? Oh, yeah, I'm tired. I need your help. That's the stick part, right? So then you have to figure out what's the carrot in all this. What's the carrot for him? Whatever that is.
Okay.
Well, you're going to be nicer to him. You're going to be nicer to him. You're going to be easier to be around. You're going to be friendlier.
I mean,
you're going to be warmer. You're going to be more sensual because you're not so burned out all the time.
Right.
Okay, so you got a carrot and stick thing. Okay, I'll let you go. Think about all that.
Okay, I'm going to listen, though, because I like the show topic.
Okay, thank you.
But, yeah.
Bye
now.
Thank you. My energy is a little off today, too. I got to get my vibration back up. Let me find an article on vibration so we'll get away from the rest of this, some of the St. Patrick's Day. I said it right that time. Yay. This is an article on 8 ways to build a better relationship. And I thought this is all vibrational in a lot of ways. And it's from Preservation Magazine. And it's relationship advice. Ooh, my friend on the phone would like this. So let me get it directly into the 8 things. And this is what you can do. This is what you can do personally. And I relate this a lot to raising your vibration, dealing with a relationship, and it's actually having a better relationship with yourself at some level too, right? And sometimes when your relationship gets a little strained and you're kind of going, like we just talked about, right? So these are things that get you back into your vibrational place where you're just kind of like, okay, now I can cope with the situation. And if you're in a better vibrational field, your partner generally will move into a better vibrational field also. And the article is from, I said, preservation. Prevention. What am I saying? Preservation. My brain is not here today. I apologize. It's Friday. It's, I don't drink, so it can't be that, right? Eight Ways, and it's by, okay, Andrew New B. Newberg, MD, and Mark Robert Wallman. Okay, so we got all that out. Let's get to the eight things before I kind of go off on another weird little tangent here today. Okay, breathe and stretch. All these things you can do to get your vibration into a better place. Breathe and stretch, okay? When conversations are challenging, the person you can remain, who can remain calm will benefit the most. I like that. That's because stress generates irritability. Irritability leads to anger, and anger shuts down your ability to get your point across. It lowers your vibration, right? If you're getting into anger state, you're really low on the vibrational scale. You've just kind of hit the bottom part of the vibrational scale. You're a long way from love and appreciation and joy, fear and anger. So these are ways to get you out of that mode and up the scale again. So before you enter any important dialogue, take a minute or two, enter a state of deep relaxation. Many brain scan studies have shown that simple exercises such as breathing slowly to a count of five, and in some cases, I would say to 10 or 20 or 50, depending on the situation, right? Got to go in the other room and I got to call. I got to count to a million before I can deal with this, right? No. Stretching your neck or even raking a few lawns. So that's a physical activity. That's kind of a cool – sometimes you just got to do a physical activity. Men are really good about that, though. Men get in the caught up in something that's heated and emotionally they can't deal with it. So they'll go out in the garage and they'll work with wood, or they'll work on the car, or at the lawn or something, or go for a run. Women do that, too. Go for a run, right? Something that gets you out of that state. Tony Robbins talked about that all the time. Change your state. Raise your vibration. Do something that raises. I would go hug a tree, but that's, you know, like go lean up against a tree. Give all that energy to the tree. Let it take it. You know, talk to the tree for a while. They'll listen, right? They've been around a long time. Okay, so number two on this list of getting your vibration back up, getting into this place where you can cope with relationship situations. Generate five positive thoughts. Any negative thought you harbor can interfere with the parts of your brain involved in language processing. You like that? Any negative thought you harbor. Ooh. Yeah. Involved in listening, speech, leading to mutual defensiveness and distrust. Statements like, you let me down, and I don't like your tone, or even an eye roll can generate a fight or flight reaction in the other person's brain. So negative energies you're putting out, negative thoughts, negative ideas you're throwing out there. Boom. So you're bringing the vibration down in the situation, not just yourself, but towards the other person. When you say something negative to somebody else, automatically brings their energy down. Okay? So let's go. To counter this, employ the 5-to-1 rule. For every negative feeling you hold about yourself, the other person, or the topic at hand, conjure five positive ones. Well, you could even say five things that you really appreciate. I would use the word appreciation here. Think of five things that you really appreciate. And look for five things that you appreciate in the other person. Ooh, yes. Go back to why. What is the good stuff in your life? The reasons you got together. What, you know, some of the good times that you. I love the way you cook. Da 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 da. I love the way. And just put these in your head. So you're thinking of five positive things about another person, or the situation, or whatever it might be. But you got to get your mind into the positive away from the negative. And appreciation is one of the best ways of doing that. And that's, and you're gonna feel better about the person. You're gonna feel better about yourself. It's gonna change the dynamic of the situation, and you're gonna change your vibrational field and get it back up to a place where you can cope and deal. Right? Okay. Number three. Anybody else want to talk to me? I mean, no. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going on and on about this, but this is good stuff. So I'm having fun with this, and it is about vibration. It's about how to use and raise your vibration in situations where there's a bunch of stuff going on, right? Okay, if I can find the article again, I always lose these articles in my... Okay, number three, seal it with a smile. Ooh, that's good. I like that a lot. If you want to boost the success of your interplay, try accessing a pleasant memory or thinking about someone you love before you start the conversation. It will create a subtle, inviting facial expression that conveys kindness, compassion, and interest. What's that? Fake it till you make it? Just get a smile on, really. Just find something to smile about. Just find something to smile about. And there's certain kinds of smiles that you can do that are even more beneficial to you. It's the raise the cheekbone, big smile on your face, you know, mouth open, raise the cheekbone, smile. Actually, and you squint the eyes slightly. If you practice that smile for a while, raising the cheekbone, squinting the eyes slightly, and smiling, people connect with that smile. Actually, people are shown pictures of the same person with that smile and just the regular old smile. They find people more attractive when they do that smile. Okay, so researchers at Loyola University Chicago demonstrated contentment gives rise to happier chats. Enjoyable memories will also release pleasurable chemicals in your brain and that will take you into deeper states of relaxed intimacy. So smile. Think about something positive. Think about something that you like. We're back to really kind of going back to the second point about thinking of things that feel good. Raising your feel-good energy and that raising your vibration by smiling, finding things that you can smile about with the person that you're having some problems with or the situation, right? Try it. You know, by the time you get done with all this, and we're going to go through some of these points, but by the time you get done with this, you're not going to be angry anymore, and you're going to go, why was I upset? And it'll come back to you later, but why was I upset? Oh, I don't know. Okay, see into the soul is number four. I like this. Eye contact stimulates the social network circuits in the brain, decreases the stress hormone, and increases the feel-good hormone that enhances sympathy. Okay, looking at someone's face, literally looking, also means you will be able to recognize the seven basic facial expressions: anger, fear, sadness, disgust, surprise, contempt, and happiness. Did you know that those are the seven basic facial expressions? Anger, fear, sadness, disgust, surprise, contempt, and happiness. You look for those in people. That's kind of an interesting side. Well, off to the side here a little bit on that one, a little side point. If you look for one of those seven, okay, you know, if you're an actor, you want to try to bring up one of those seven. But if you're a partner, your friend, or whoever, your boss, right, look for one of those seven. Which one's going on there? Yeah, hopefully you're not seeing contempt. That's not a good one, right? That's a bad place. But looking in some of your eyes, this is a really interesting point, that you can release this chemical oxytocin. And what it does, it makes you feel good. It really good. You can even do it with your pets. Believe it or not, if you look into your dog's eyes, you release that chemical in your brain. And the dog does also, and your dog's just all a happy camper because you're looking in its eyes and you're releasing all these great chemicals. It's kind of a kumbaya moment with your dog. I don't know about cats, though. You look in your cat's eye and they just look at you like, okay, when are you feeding me? When are you feeding me? That's my cat, at least. They're a little manipulators. Off the topic again, where cats are little manipulators. I think dogs are to some degree, but dogs love to have you feel good with you. So this makes it easier to repair the damage before your loved one notices the conversation was knocked off track. So looking into the eyes, what are they feeling? What's that emotion that's going on with them? And you're sending some chemicals out in your brain, and you're also locking in some chemicals in their brain, and hopefully you're going to feel better. Okay. Number five, which is kind of like the stuff that we've been talking about, but, you know, it's nothing better than emphasizing things about four times, right? Express appreciation. Ooh, that's a good one. The first word you speak to someone will set the tone for the entire interaction. Now, can you see where this is kind of going when the idea of raising your vibration, when you got those really good feel good chemicals going on inside your brain, your vibration is going up and your partner's vibration, and you're moving out of the anger thing and you're moving up to some real positive emotions? That's the indicator of your vibration is your emotions. Your emotions are the indicator of your vibrations. Did you know that? That's a good one. That's a law of attraction stuff. But let's move on. The first word you speak to someone will set the tone for the entire interaction. And a simple compliment may be all you need to engender cooperation and trust. Complaints, on the other hand, immediately create a defensive reaction in the listener. And will rarely get you what you want. I have a problem with you today. I need to talk to you about something. That sounds like complaint, right? Hey, how are you doing today? You look really good today. Wow. You're having a great hair day. You know that. I mean, be sincere, of course. You know, you just don't pull something off the top of your head. I really appreciated what you did for me last night. Okay? I really appreciate that you did this for me or did this. I really appreciate whatever it might be. Look for something to appreciate. Start a conversation with an appreciation for something about the person. And that just builds a positive energy, a positive vibration. There's a suggestion here in the article. Begin each conversation with a sincere compliment and end with a phrase that conveys deep appreciation for the other person. I like that. Deep appreciation, not just a surface level, but a deep appreciation. I appreciate that you're a very loving person. I appreciate that you're very kind-hearted. I appreciate you had a lot of empathy, and I appreciate your compassion for other people. I appreciate your willingness to assist, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, research shows that remarks received at the end of an interaction are especially effective because they linger in the other person's mind. So the last thing said is what they're saying here. The last thing said should be something about appreciation. Isn't that beautiful? Something you appreciate. And that sticks with people, right? It's like when you get into a, you know, you end and listen to a speech by somebody. It's usually the last things that are remembered. So you have to, that last point you make has to be very powerful. Very powerful, right? Okay, be brief. I like this, be brief. I'm not being very brief, but be brief, right? Okay, before I get into be brief, to see if anybody wants to be brief with me. No. Hey, this has really been fun. We'll get one more. I'm not going to get into St. Patrick's Day very much. I guess not. See if there's anything. Oh, I haven't. Well, let's see. We'll go through one. We'll just do this deep. Be brief, okay? Whenever possible, speak a sentence or two at a time. Then pause and take a breath to relax. Why? Researchers shows that our conscious minds remain only a tiny bit of information. Then it's booted out of the working memory as new material is uploaded. So if you speak for a longer period of time, let your friend know in advance. This will encourage him to focus and ignore the intrusiveness of his own inner speech. What does that all mean? You know, like, really, what does that mean? If you have something to say, make a couple sentences, pause, let the person digest it, let it kind of flow into the brain a little bit. And men are really bad. You know, we don't process very quickly, especially emotional statements. It takes us a long time, and science has proven this, and they've done these things with the MRIs and men's brains, and when they're faced with emotional pictures and so forth, the brain doesn't fire as well. It takes a long time for men to process emotional stuff for the most part. So if you're getting into emotional conversations with men especially, slow down. Slow down. Don't give them too much information all at once, because that is not going to work. And you could even break it up in days, you know. I mean, not that you want to harp on a subject, on and on and on about a subject, but make it very brief. Give them, you know, like, give them the cliff notes. Women can take more. If you're a man talking to a woman, she can digest more than you can. So you can give her more information, okay? Ah, isn't that difference? Our brains are wired a little differently. And it has to do with the brains, between the difference in the actual physicality between the brain and a woman and a man. And I'm not going to do a scientific study on, show you the, get into the science. I don't have diagrams to show you on that one. Okay, next point. Would you rather hear about famous actors that are Irish? We can do this another time. Well, we can do a couple more. I'm kind of like, okay, are we done with this one yet? Beat this one to death. We'll do one more. Build trust. When you finally get around to your own big conversations with loved ones, coach yourself to speak gently. Ooh, gently. Well, that's a vibrational thing. When you're speaking gently, you're not harsh. You're not negative. You're not rrr. This means speaking slowly, which can deepen your partner's respect for you, according to research published in Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin. But your tone matters too. So you got to practice your speech patterns here a little bit, right? If you drop the pitch of your voice and speak more slowly, the listener will hear it and respond with greater trust. So if you got a news anchor that speaks softly, speaks, you know, with a deeper voice and speaks so slowly, you have the tendency to trust speakers that do that. If they're speaking in a really high-pitched, fast voice, they're rattling on and on and on, and they act really nervous, you're not going to trust that person. Does that remind you of anybody? No, never mind. We'll leave that one alone. But, you know, the anchors on TV, if you trust somebody, they're usually speaking in a deeper voice, and they're speaking slower. And you get to trust that. The strategy was developed and tested in 2011 in the Department of Communication Science at the Disorders at the University of Houston, and has been used to help oncologists present bad news to patients in the most supportive way possible. When the doctors reduce their speaking rate and pitch, their patients perceive them as more caring and sympathetic. So listen to the evening news. Listen to how they speak, the ones you seem to trust, because you're going to see that they speak a little bit slower. They're not rushing through everything. Now, local news, I don't know about. I don't watch local news very much because it always is hysterical about the cat's caught in the tree. It's a horrible situation. Oh, the end of the world. You know, like in Southern California here, we get these rainstorms every once in a while. And every time we have a rainstorm and everybody's hysterical about Storm Watch 2017, everything's going to be washed away really soon. Okay, so that's not true, right? So they speak slowly. We're going to have some rain. But, you know, like really, people, they want to frighten people. And the next point, I keep checking back to see if anybody wants to talk to me and also how much time I have left. And we'll just go through the next point or two. Listen, no, really listen. Ooh, that's a good one. These are all great points, and these are great points. And it's keeping your vibration up, keeping the energy up in a relationship, especially when you're having those difficult moments. This one is harder than it sounds. Research shows that most of us begin to speak before the other person has finished talking. Yeah, have you ever noticed yourself do it? I do that. I'm really bad about that. I've worked over the years to try to listen, not to jump in the middle of a sentence, you know, try to answer before they finish the sentence, right? If you ever do that, answer before they finish the sentence and you got it all wrong and you feel like an idiot. Even doctors who are trained to listen carefully and for important medical information tend to interrupt patients within 23 seconds, long before the patient's true concerns have been stated. To listen deeply and fully must train your mind to stay focused on the person who is speaking, not only on his words, but also his or her facial expressions and body language. You know, we convey a lot with our body, a lot with our bodies. Actually, more so than the words. We're talking about the facial features. Those seven facial expressions will tell a person a lot about it. You could be saying one thing and your face is doing a completely different thing and you're going, yeah, right, sure. Of course, this takes some practice to get right. But even if the other person blathers on and on, try to respond to what was just said, as opposed to shifting the conversation back to what you want to talk about. The best of all, share the strategies with your partner and agree to practice them with each other. In a few weeks, you'll actually improve the communication centers in your brain as you build greater trust and intimacy with each other. Now, they didn't mention this here, but a great strategy and all that is when you're listening to a person and they've been going on for a little while, it's best when they stop to reiterate or ask them a question about what they just said, or just restate what they just said, so especially the end of it, so that they know that you're paying attention, that you're connected with them, right? Or if you want some clarity at that point, ask a question related and use the words that they used so they really know that you are paying attention to them. That's important. It really is. It's a little strategy I learned somewhere in all of my journeys of doing all this stuff, right? Okay. I think that was it. Oh, well, that was fun. I thought it was fun. And it's all about vibration, right? It's all about vibration and raising your vibration, especially in relationships situations. Because sometimes that could be really tough. Now, I post all this on Facebook. As if you're inclined to join me on Facebook and if you want to read all these articles for yourself, please do. And if you want to go back over the material, if there's something appropriate for you, join me there. Okay, we got a couple minutes left. Oh, okay. This is fun. We're gonna flip into fun stuff. St. Patrick's Day tribute to some of the greatest Irish actors. And some of these people I didn't even know were Irish. Some of them I did. Maureen O'Hara, no, I knew she was Irish. You know, she was in Miracle on 34th Street, things suddenly making a lot of noise, with John Wayne, Quiet Man, and so forth, Parent Trap. So famous redhead from Ireland originally. At one point I could do a really good Irish accent. Colin Farrell. Now, everybody knows who's Colin Farrell. I think you should know. He's Irish too. Okay, so they got a little voice track behind this, and I'm not going to get into the voice track. He was on Sesame Street once, discussing with Elmo. How fun is that? Colin Farrell, he was in True Detective last year, and what was it about True? Oh, nobody liked that one, so we're moving right along. Okay. But yes. Next one I don't know, so I'm not even going to include in my list of Liam Neeson, yes, the Taken movies and Schindler's List, all that stuff. Okay, we're going to move into a couple of people. Pierce Brosnan, I didn't know Brosnan played James Bond and a bunch of things. And one of my favorite movies that he was in Mrs. Doubtfire. I didn't know he was Irish. I thought he was always British, very British person, but he's not. He's Irish. Did you know that? He was also in Mamma Mia, and he tried to sing, and everybody's going, he can't sing. Peter O'Toole is one of the most famous Irish actors of all time. Aha. Okay, am I out of these yet? Okay, I got a couple more. One or two more Irish. Nope. Okay, I think there was one at the end I thought. Daniel Day-Lewis is probably one of my favorite actors of all time, and he's Irish. What's amazing about Daniel Day-Lewis is he played Abraham Lincoln. Now, that's about as far away from Irish, but, you know, back in the 1800s in the United States, a lot of those people did have accents. Believe it or not, Yes, because they just had recently come from Europe, and those accents, the American accent, hadn't been developed. Okay, we won't get into accents and where the American accents came from, but it's kind of interesting. So famous Irish people on State Factory State. So I've had some fun today. I'll be back on Monday. We'll do something completely different. I have no idea. It's all about raising your vibration, getting you into a better place, helping you to perform at a higher level. So I love you guys, and I will be back.